Kerry Crowley joins us. Kerry, we've had you on, of course, a lot, and it's a lot of fun going through the spring with you. Well, first of all, before we do that, Matt Leland, you have news on Jake Arrieta. You have more news on the signing.
Yeah, Bob Nightingale disclosed the terms. 3 years, $75 million. Kind of an interesting contract.
Yeah, very good, Matt. Thanks for being on that. Kerry, we'll start with that. Jake Arrieta, 3 years, $75 million for the Phillies. Now, they got Santana. They've got some bullpen pieces. And Arrieta, are the Phillies now competing? Are they in the mix? Whoops, let me turn you on here. There, rookie mistake.
They have to be in the mix in that NL East, and there's so many teams with question marks in that division. You look at the Braves. Do they have enough pitching? The Marlins won't contend at all. And you just go up and down that division, and all of a sudden the Phillies, if their young talent breaks out this year, and that's a lot of young talent, then they could be in very good shape, and you can use a veteran like Arrieta. It's only 3 years and $25 million a year. They're adding a lot to that staff with just his presence alone.
Well, 3 years is interesting, and we've talked about that on the show, and we talked a lot about how to structure contracts now, and that is you give the big money in the beginning and then the small money at the end so you can get rid of people at the end. You're not stuck with them. But he got 3 years with some decent money, and that's the end of it. So we'll see what happens after that. But very good, Matt. I appreciate it. And, Kerry, good comment on that. Kerry Crowley with us. Boy, this spring training is moving along. Chase D'Arnaud was at shortstop today, working with Ron Wotus and Jose Alguacil. They really don't have a traditional backup shortstop. Here we are, March 11th. They're trying out D'Arnaud at short and trying to work on his footwork, and I could see they're thinking of him as a shortstop.
Well, they need more organizational depth in the middle infield. There's no real true shortstop at AAA for the Giants, and there's not one coming through the system. If you think of really deep into the system, there's Ryan Howard, who played at Single-A San Jose last year. But there's a reason that they signed all of these non-roster invitees, and it's to push Kelby Tomlinson for that backup shortstop utility job. And if they all fall short of Kelby, then maybe someone will go down to AAA and come up and provide depth eventually when Joe Panic and Brandon Crawford need a day or two.
Well, you have, of course, Blanco here, and we just had him on the show, and he loves playing short. It's his house. He loves it, but, you know, he hasn't had much range here, and he's got the knee infection. You don't see that happening. Calixte, I think they've soured on him already. Now he's not an everyday short. You got to have great hands. You got to make the routine play. There can never be a mistake, and he can't really do that consistently. They really don't have a lot of choices, so D'Arnaud is someone they're going to take a good look at. 31 years old. He's a guy who gets the uniform dirty. He's a character, you know, the music background and all that. So let's see what happens.
Yeah, D'Arnaud's just a fascinating guy to talk to. He hired hitting and fielding coaches this offseason because he was tired of his current level of performance. He wanted to invest in that, so he dropped the music gig temporarily. He's one of the most upbeat people I've ever seen in a clubhouse environment. Just, you know, like what Pablo Sandoval, the energy that he walks into the room with, Chase D'Arnaud is like three times that when you talk to him. The guy had a 10-minute chat with reporters after he had a real good game earlier this spring, and afterward he wanted to fist bump everyone and thank them for the positive energy in the interview. You don't see that every
day. No, I've got him on, and you helped me with it this morning, and we'll have him on. Maybe even the post game today, or we'll probably have him on next week. All right, Kerry Crowley with us. Kerry, we've had a lot of fun on this show and the post game as well. It's kind of speculating. And as I say, you have spring training down here. As soon as you walk through that dugout in AT&T Park and you look up and you see the three decks and you know you're in AT&T Park, things change. This place never existed. But we're here. The drama continues around Hunter Pence. He's a DH today. What's your take on what's going on here?
In the outfield, it's so fascinating to see how the Giants are developing, because they've got guys like Pence, Jackson, and McCutcheon that will be on the opening day roster, and then two jobs that are essentially up for grabs. And it's, how do they want to fill those two jobs out? Do they prioritize a certain tool? They don't have a left-handed outfielder, so Jarrett Parker can bring them left-handed power, but he's not off to a great start this spring. Do they prioritize defense and go with Gorkys Hernandez and Gregor Blanco as the two reserves, or do they give Steven Duggar a shot right away? And I think that they probably won't do that, but we'll see Steven Duggar at some point this season, and the outfielder who's making the biggest impression could potentially push Hunter Pence early on. Mack Williamson completely retooled his swing, 4 home runs this spring, and he's got so much more confidence right now than he did at any point when he's been up with the major league club.
He's not cloudy. You know what I mean? When he sits, he's not cloudy. He has a real look in his eye, doesn't he?
Oh, tremendous determination. He was, again, like Darnold, disappointed with his results at the major league level, and so he devoted his offseason to working with a hitting coach, Greg Lotta, down in Southern California, who helped retool Justin Turner's swing. And now Williamson has come into spring training, and his hands are lowered. He's quick to the ball, and he's crushing it out there, which is something that he's done in previous springs, but with the new mechanics and that new attitude, you kind of feel like it's going to stick this time around.
Well, we'll see. You know, we go into these last 2 weeks of spring training. As I say, there's command and control.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on control, velocity right now. Just get it in the strike zone. When they start working on command and all the different pitches, we'll see what happens. And look, I hope he does it. It'd be great. You know, when you win pennants or you, things happen, surprises have to happen. And if Mac Williamson could produce, that would be a surprise that could be a huge part of the team.
I mean, look at the Dodgers last year. Who guessed that Chris Taylor would be that left fielder and would be that type of an impact player for them? Who knew that Justin Turner would have an MVP-caliber season or be in that hunt for that award so late into the season? You need those breakout performances. And in 2010, 2012, 2014, it all came together for the Giants.
Yeah, no, you're right. We'll see Julian Fernandez today. He is a Rule 5, and we'll explain again that he's drafted from another organization, Colorado. Giants pay, I think, $100,000 for him to keep him on their in their organization. They've got to keep him on the 25-man roster for the entire season or offer him back to Colorado. If they don't take him, put him on waivers. They got to go through a lot of hoops to keep the guy. If they want to keep him and not keep him on the roster and send him to the minor leagues. But he's 100 miles an hour. I saw him the other day. He got off to a slow start, and then he started cranking it up. He's in there today.
Julian Fernandez in Peoria the other night on that televised game against the Mariners had as good of an inning as any Giants pitcher has thrown this spring. Hit 99 five times, threw a backdoor curveball, struck out a guy, went 1-2-3. But the problem is there's been no consistency for Julian Fernandez this spring. He's been throwing 99, and a lot of the time he doesn't know where it's going. And in a crowded bullpen, you can't have a guy who doesn't have command for a fastball, especially if you're looking to bounce back and have a hot start early following the 98 loss season.
I think Colorado would take him back.
I do too.
I mean, he's got that live arm.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that live arm. So, all right, we have Melanson today as well. What do you think about that?
Well, Mark Melanson is a curious case right now because the Giants invested so much money in him. He had the pronator surgery in September, and he's experiencing discomfort. He told reporters the other day he's not sure if it's a natural part of the process in coming back for that surgery. He thinks it is. Bruce Bochy certainly thinks it is. The Giants are planning to have him ready for opening day. Tony Watson said being around him and watching him throw, it's like same old Mark. But I think at the back of Melanson's mind, he has to clear a hurdle there to be in top form for him to go at the beginning of the regular season, because otherwise he'll have a little bit of that mental hurdle to clear, and you can't start the season and be a successful pitcher if that's the case.
No, he's got to have confidence to throw the ball where he wants to throw it, and he is a little quirky. He's a little quirky, and he's got to feel good on the mound, so we'll see what he does today. It'd be fun. That's one I want to watch today. You know, you want to see guys coming back from injuries or young players trying to at least make an impression down here in spring training. Kerry Crowley with us, covers the Giants for the Bay Area News Group, doing a great job down here, formerly with KMBR, and did a great job there as well. Looking at Ty Block, and I said this on the show today, and I don't know if you guys have written it or not, but Stratton has kind of conceded the four spot. But they do play the Dodgers seven times in the first nine games. Ty Block has handled the Dodgers in his career, and he's had big games against them. I can see Block getting the four spot and Stratton getting the five spot and maybe even being skipped early in the season. And I think what Block does here today, he's had a great spring training, and he's got obviously a few more starts over the next couple of weeks. But I see Block maybe slipping into that four spot.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, Marty. In the clubhouse this morning, I was having a conversation with other writers, and I said, because of Ty Block's history against the Dodgers, and the way that those two series stack up, two of the first three series, why not start Ty Block, get an extra position player or extra relief pitcher like Derek Holland into your bullpen, and have Chris Stratton be the number one guy in Sacramento for the first two starts of the season, have him throw on regular rest, keep him hidden a bit, and then have him come up and ready to break out.
See, that's why you're my protege. Very good. Very good. So who did you tell that to?
I believe I was talking with...
Henry wouldn't agree. Henry doesn't agree with anything. You know that.
I think I might have been talking to Chris Haft.
Chris Haft is agreeable. He's agreeable.
Liam Connolly of Giants PR.
Liam is on it. Now, Henry, forget it. He'll never agree. Alex will never agree. And Andy will say, did you read my article?
Well, Andy's got to worry about the subscription money
nowadays. He'll say, did you read my article? Yeah. That's a very good. No, seriously, I hadn't heard that this morning. But as I was looking at Block today, I'm saying he's had a great spring, and it is that they have to get this through those seven games, and Block does have the ability to do that. So,
well, and another thing that Ty Block has worked on this spring that I'm fascinated to see today is the differentiation between his curveball and his slider, because last year he wasn't missing a whole lot of bats, and this spring the strikeout totals are up. You can see the curveball's slower, the slider's got more bite, and I'm wondering how Kurt Young's presence has impacted Block and changed a little bit of his philosophy with those breaking balls.
Well, we'll talk to Kurt and find out. Hey, Kerry, great to have you on. I appreciate it, as
always. Thank you, Marty.
All right, that's Kerry Crowley, following with the Bay Area News Group, the San Jose Mercury News. Does a great job